I'm just trying to save myself some postage.
I'll delete it afterwards, but I want to see how it's going.
All right. Lisa, are we ready? Okay, we'll go ahead and get started this morning. We're here for the Community Services Budget Workshop for 2015. And Carla are both here. Anything you want to start off with this morning?
Just in general with the Community Services Budget, we have a few items that we increase, and we can address those as we go through that, but I think we're all trying to keep it similar to this year's budget, while still trying to address the needs we're seeing a little bit, expecting just based on the trend of the number of people we've assisted from July to December, we are seeing probably a higher number of people to serve this year than we did, or serving in fiscal year 14 than we did in 13.
Deb, what do you attribute that to? I mean, is it just the reality of a changing population in Ames? Is it driven by the economy? I mean, I don't feel that the economy is still as down as it was. So what do you attribute it to?
Well, a lot of the other community organizations that we work with that also assist with rent and utilities, they are seeing a decrease in funds. And so where they might have been helping, you know, more than once a year, a lot of them went to a once-a-year policy in limiting then the number of people they're assisting and pulling back a little bit on the amount they assist with. Where our policy has always been that we can assist, you know, every 6 months, and our amount of assistance is typically more than what those other agencies provide assistance for. So I think it's what the other agencies are doing. Economy-wise, you know, I don't know if it's people who just are still kind of in that flux of trying to find work that's going to meet their needs. A lot of them have kids, and so there's the child care costs that they are up against as well. I know, Carla, do you have anything to add?
No, I think what you've said probably hits it.
I mean, we still work very collaboratively with the Emergency Residence Project and Good Neighbor and the local churches communicating the needs and working together on folks. If somebody comes in with rent that they are overdue on, our office does not assist with that, but then those other agencies can, and then we'll help with the current month's rent.
And I don't know if this is related, but as the number of people that access the food banks and food pantries and the various church services for meals and things like this, I think the word gets out that there are other services that some of these people may qualify for. And I think with that type of communication, people begin to take a look at some of the community services that Ames has to offer. And so over time, I think a lot of that has to do with that. But if you'll notice that those areas they're exercising some growth or increased numbers of people that are coming in. Now, whether that's, you know, all directly related to the economy or are they financially in a situation that they've got to rely on that, it's really hard to tell. But those numbers are there when you talk to some of the church organizations or from the people that I know that serve at those facilities. They say they can see a higher number of folks than what we've had in years past.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the food resources, because that is an area all throughout the county that there are lots of resources for that. And I know the Salvation Army's food bank and Micah's food bank both allow people to come on a monthly basis now,
right,
where it used to be every 3 months.
Right.
And so they're seeing return families and individuals returning. And then the meals that are available as well. So that's an area that has really bubbled to the top to meet those basic needs.
Mm-hmm. What are we shredding? I see our office supplies went up. And we're paying a third of shredding cost?
Yep, it's our document. Anytime we purge every year, all of our information in our office is confidential information, GA information, mental health, so we go through a purging stage because we keep our records for every 7 years, and then we go through that stage. And what we had been doing was boxing up the information and then having facilities take it over to CLP, and the clients would shred, and they're backed up on that. And so the shredding service that comes to the building for the Department of Human Services, they're already coming to the building, and they could just add us on as part of that service. And it's a minimal cost, and I don't know that we would need it maybe quarterly. We do have a couple of shredders in our office right now, so people are shredding their own, but it's kind of hit or miss when the time is available.
Yeah, I mean, it's not you're talking about $500. I'm not all that, but I like to know where when we bump something like that, I want to know. So thank you. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, to meet communication services, is clear. That's our phone system.
That's the phone.
It's just the reality of the new phone system. For me, funeral services, two things there, Deb. One, I think it's time to take a year off from, I know we've bumped it the last, I think, 3 years every year. I think it's time to take a year off in bumping what we're paying for funeral services. And then the second part, I know you've had a really, really heavy year in terms of how many we've paid for. It's hard for me to predict that one heavy year means the next year is going to be heavy as well. And so I have trouble just taking, I go back and I look at the four-year average and I say, okay, we had one year that was really high and then it came back down. And so I'd like to see us keep this one. I know it's just a placeholder, but I'd like to see us just extend this one across at the $27,080 is what we originally budgeted last year. I know we're going to spend substantially more than that this year, but I don't think that indicates that we're necessarily going to do it next year. So those would be my questions. Can we just hold the line on what we're paying? And I know we don't cover the full amount. I understand that. But now for 3 years, we've increased it. Let's take 1 year and not increase it. And then let's just – we don't know what this is going to be, but I think last year's budget number is a reasonable number to plug in. Thoughts?
I agree. It's hard to know what's going to happen with that. Right now what we're looking at is about two a month. And you're right, that could fall off.
I go back over the last few years, right? And so we were actual spent 19.7, 18,000.
Right.
Then we bumped up to 30,000, and now this year we're all going to be all the way up into the at least the mid 40s is our projection if things continue. But I see that it's just as realistic to think that it's going to drop back off as it is to think that it's going to stay the same. And so I'd rather budget on the more conservative side.
Of course, one of the things to keep in mind, though, we're seeing a aging population of our veterans now are starting to reach that point where there's not longevity, and we're probably going to...
This isn't the veterans, though.
Oh, this isn't. This is, which one is this? Is this the incident?
General incident.
Okay, gotcha.
But veterans usually follows suit. We try to keep things
right.
Consistent. Yep.
Well, this is basically generally to incident families and services. Okay, yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense.
And like I say, I mean, I think we all acknowledge that we're going to do what we're going to do here. Right. I mean, this line item is really out of our control.
Right.
It's going to be what it's going to be. I just think it's reasonable to plug in the 27, and then we'll deal with it. If we get to this point next year and we see that it stays consistent, we'll deal with it then.
So the 44 is where we want to adjust.
I'm sorry?
So the 44, 190.
I want to take the 44, 190 back down to 2780.
Okay. All right.
I think we do more than a lot of counties. I mean.
Some counties have went to the policy of just funding cremation. And there's some counties that don't pay for burials at all. Some of that has been at the request of their local funeral homes, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Makes sense.
That was all I had. I want to compliment you guys on producing another outstanding budget. Appreciate you holding the line like you hold the line, and really appreciate the services you guys provide.
Can I ask a question about re-estimating for the current year?
We all know that hospital care is a total crapshoot. You haven't spent anything throughout the year. Can I lower that by 5 for the re-estimated for the current year, who knows? Last year spent 77. Do you know of anything coming up?
Right, and you're talking under substance abuse.
No. Yes, under chemical treatment services.
Lower it by 5,000. Is that what you're asking?
And just for FY14. Let's leave it at 10 for 15.
For re-estimation purposes only, if I lowered that by 5, do you think that would be a problem?
Right, we don't have anybody on our radar.
Okay.
So that's another one that it could come tomorrow.
I'm not going to amend you for it. I'm just going to, for my purposes, re-estimate it down.
And just for clarification, this is for inpatient treatment at the substance abuse unit at Mount Pleasant MHI.
Oh, okay.
And we are a little baffled ourselves as to why we haven't seen more activity in that line item. But I'm fine with the reduction, having a quiet year with that.
It's just for re-estimation at this point in time anyway, so that I can get a better handle on the supplemental fund, because that's where we're paying for that out of.
What was your total, Lisa?
So I'm just re-estimating the FY14 down to 5. I just want to, on the record, talk about making sure we're all on the same page with who's getting paid for out of this budget. I've got you at 25%, Carla 50, Nicole 50, and Kathy 50. Okay.
All right, that takes us to page 66.
And we're looking at the combined, right, Lisa? The mental health budget that has the combined codes.
Nope, it's right here. Yes.
Okay. I hope so.
Okay. Just a couple of overall statements on this. There's a county finance committee that periodically looks at the chart of account codes, and they did some changes to the codes used in mental health and disability services. Part of that was because of the redesign legislation that was passed, and instead of breaking out mental illness and chronic mental illness, it's now, as of July 1st of 14, all just under mental illness, so it's just one code, and it really does simplify things, so I personally was appreciative of that. So we had to collapse that and make those adjustments in the budget moving forward. We did implement an overall 3% rate increase to providers for services, so that's reflected throughout the budget. The other piece that we're going to be watching, actually this last half of fiscal year 14 and then moving into fiscal year 15, are the changes that the Affordable Care Act brings forward to our budget, because with that act, which also includes the expanded Medicaid in the state of Iowa, there'll be people that we have typically been funding, especially outpatient services for and inpatient services, that will now have those services covered under another insurance source, whether it's Medicaid or private policy. So, but we didn't make very many adjustments to that because, a lot of people still need to sign up for it and need assistance signing up for it. And so we just wanted to be sure dollars are there to cover the people that have not applied yet, and then help those individuals get steered in the right direction so they can apply and be covered.
And Dan, maybe not being following the exact sign-up area, but wasn't there a particular client set that had to do something by before the end of this fiscal year that had to sign up for some type of service?
There are varying deadlines out there, and people who are in Iowa, people who are applying for the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan, which is Iowa's version of expanded Medicaid, there is no deadline. That's open enrollment. People can apply at any point that they need to. With the insurance exchange, the marketplace
exchange,
they have until the end of March or the middle of March of this year to apply to get coverage, and then the enrollment period thereafter is October to December of each calendar year.
And are we paying having any specific role in assistance with some of those clients, and how do they go about notifying us if they need some assistance and making sure they're signing up?
We're actively, any client that we're talking to, we're asking, you know, if we've been the funder, we're asking them, have you applied?
Right.
And based on their answer, and if they haven't, then we're channeling them to places where they can go and apply. The community health center that just opened in Ames last Thursday has a person on staff that people can call, make an appointment, and she'll help them apply. Story County Medical Center is helping people apply for the health and wellness plan. So we're giving out. Ierley Ball is hiring somebody to help specifically their clients. So other agencies have this on their radar as well. We also have a mechanism through the Iowa Medicaid entity to check on verification for people who've applied for the health and wellness plan, and that's been a very helpful tool. So if someone has not applied and we check on that, or we don't know if they've applied and they're not sure, a lot of people aren't sure, you know, of their coverage, we can check that, and if they have not, then we can say, okay, here's what you need to do. So we are actively watching that now that it's in effect.
Last fall, we also sent letters out to providers that we contract with, as well as clients that were currently funding at the time, encouraging them to look into the health insurance options.
Right. Okay.
That did generate a lot of calls back to us, too. So,
going back to what you just talked about with them consolidating the different accounts, I just want to make sure I'm hearing it accurately. So in our mental health, where we show that our clearing account is going up by 293%, the reality is it's coming down because it was, I think it was 1.3 million if you combine chronic. If you combine everything, last year we were about 1.3 million that we budgeted, and this year we're budgeting 1.2. Am I seeing that accurately? Okay. But now instead of being out of three different accounts, it's out of one account.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you would combine that 40 and 41.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, last year was 1.231980, so it's actually going down a little.
Going down. Okay. Yep.
What page were you on, Rick?
And I'm 69.
Yeah, I'm down to 69. Do we need to talk about anything on 66 in terms of the revenues? You feel comfortable with that? I mean, I know we've changed some things up. Looks like the state payment program, it reduced for us this year even from what we budgeted, and now we're just carrying that across. Can you talk to me about that?
Yep. And the state, there is technically still a state case program, and that's for folks who aren't a resident of the county or the region, and so we can turn information into DHS to get reimbursed for expenses. That whole process has slowed down immensely since July 1st. We've got four cases, I believe, that we've turned in and we're waiting for responses on. But it's still, there were dollars still appropriated to cover those kinds of expenses. We're not going to access it very much, but what we were advised to do was to just hold the line on that and use what we had budgeted for
14. Use what we had budgeted. Well, what we had budgeted for 14 originally was 408, right? Am I looking at the right line? Was 408. Now we're re-estimating at 334, but we've already brought in 333. And so I'm just wondering, does that payment work where we're not going to see anything the rest of the year?
The rest of this, we'll get some reimbursement if they approve those cases.
Okay.
But this is a revenue line item that I think over time we're going to continue to see decrease.
Okay.
The other piece too, and of course we've got the levy, the mental health and disability services levy amount and the equalization dollars. I think we have to pay close attention to activity in the legislature this session because there weren't equalization dollars included in the DHS budget. The governor would like to scoop those to finance the health and wellness plan. thinking the counties, we won't have to fund as many people, so he wants to take those dollars in and use them to help finance the health and wellness plan. So I think we have to be careful and be watching that closely, because I think what it could end up doing is really disrupting the stage that's been set for regionalization. There's still requirements and services that regions have to provide, even just in the core services, and then there's the whole core plus set of services that has to be developed in
You're not suggesting that the state would mandate something and then not have adequate dollars to pay for, are you?
So many words. So that's something I know that's on ISAC's radar, and we need to be in tune to it as well.
Will there be any movement with the mental health advocates this year?
Old toot, I can always count on you.
We did a happy dance and then
it was such
didn't
a good
sign it.
Compromise last year and then.
ISAC's stand or position on it is to either make the advocates state employees
or county
or regional employees, just to get them somewhere. Had a meeting, some regional folks, we had a meeting earlier this week with a couple of our court administrators, Scott Hand from the 2nd Judicial District and Beth Baldwin from the 5th Judicial District, and they are hopeful that there'll be some movement with this. It would certainly simplify and clarify the whole role of the advocates, but I think a lot of the reason as to why the bill or why it wasn't signed last year was taking on additional state employees. So that's why that additional language has been put into ISAC's position of, well, then make them regional employees and then let the regions figure out, how that's going to work. I know in our 10-county region, we have 8 advocates.
Right.
So, there would be discussion there as to the necessity of that and to what the role would be. The code is very clear on what an advocate's supposed to do, but is there any wiggle room or flexibility with what we could do with that?
And Deb, am I correct to assume that unless the state or the legislature changes how that's done, can we at the regional level look at those numbers and actually decide if we want to reduce those numbers or make sure that the clients they served is somewhat spread out over a larger territory?
As I said, how does that work if there's 8 for the 10-county region? Who gets to determine how many we need and who gets?
Well,
because the state appoints them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And see, currently, right now, that's part of the whole argument. And there's no oversight whatsoever. And the governor was very clear, and this was echoed again by Director Palmer to us in our meeting with him, is that he wasn't going to move on this simply because, as Deb said, this would be putting another layer of responsibility to the state for oversight, and they didn't want to basically do that.
Yeah, the advocates are appointed by the chief judge in each judicial district, and then the clients are assigned and the advocates assigned when the client goes through the commitment process, and if they're going to continue on the outpatient, which most do, once they're committed inpatient, they do go to an outpatient status with their commitment. So some of that's out of our hands right now. So that's why I said, it's another thing we have to keep a close eye on during the session to see what we might be able to help finesse if it does look like advocates become employees of the county or of the region, where we would have a little
more. It makes most sense to have them region employees. That way, then the region can decide how many they need and how they're best served.
And I think there are documents out there. There was a judicial committee that met back in 2008, and there are some best practices that came out of that committee. And this is what we've used with our advocate is what the list of duties are. and in expectations. And but that's not something that's used on a statewide basis, so it's inconsistent in some areas. It's inconsistent in area, even within our own region, and how we pay our advocates. You know, we get good information from our advocate, but you know, another county, they just pay a flat fee every month, and they don't get any information. So that's something that our court commitment committee is trying. The other thing, before we leave the advocates discussion, we're working, Boone and Story counties are working with Ierley Ball on what we call a pre-commitment screening service. And this was something that came out of the judicial work group a couple of years ago. It's not a mandated service, but it would certainly be, it would fit within the Core Plus service arena, where there would be an individual, when a family or somebody goes to file on a client, and they really don't know what the other options are, they're just kind of at their wit's end and they want help for the person, then this pre-commitment screening person would step in and meet with the family, possibly even the individual, and talk about what the other options are, and hopefully see a reduction in commitments overall, because we're getting the person to where they truly need to be and not have to go through that commitment process. So, but that's not up and running quite yet, but that is something that we're working with Ierley Ball on providing.
I had to ask.
That's a good question.
How did the transition for case management go? We transitioned it last year out of mental health and into the general fund. How was that? We find any issues there? I mean, it's just the dollars followed it, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I think it was a smooth transition. One of the issues that popped up at the very last minute, and that, again, this was due to cost-cutting measures at the Medicaid level, was case management programs, regardless of who provides the service, case management programs are capped at a 23% indirect cost. And so we had already had our cost report done, turned into IME, and we had to go back through and redo it and make some changes. And what we're doing regionally is talking about what we can do with case management as a whole within our region. You know, do some programs need to pair up and you know, provide the service collectively? What is that going to look like going into the future? Do we need all the units that we have, or can we be merging some of those? So those are discussions that are occurring right now. But to answer your question, I think the transition went smoothly. I don't think there have been any
Lisa issues. And I communicate when there's questions and things on stuff, but I think overall.
Two things I want to talk about when we get to the end. I guess I'll ask first, do we have more that we need to do with this?
Because I don't think so.
I didn't have any.
Two things that I think we need to talk about, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place or as part of the CLP budget is the appropriate place, but as we talk about mental health administration for FY15, I think we need to consider two items, and both of them relate to transitioning CLP and most importantly, the services that CLP provides into this new regional structure. And so to that end, I believe there are two items that we need to look at budgeting somewhere and designating somewhere, whether it's here or in CLP's budget. The first one is dollars to enter into a consulting arrangement. And the second one is actual transition, a pot of dollars to aid in the transition to whatever CLP and those services turn into. So I guess, Deb, I'll ask you, is now the appropriate time to have that conversation, or do we hold that for our conversation with CLP?
Well, I think it's good to mention it here, and then it would be up to the board's decision as far as whether they want it in this budget or community lives. We might be able to get a little more detail if it's discussed during the CLP.
Okay. Lisa,
are you coming back? Okay.
Where do you see this?
I see it in the CLP.
CLP
budget.
Then let's have that conversation there.
One of the things I wanted to mention is I'm putting the numbers together on this budget, and I think I briefly said it to you on the phone the other day, in the mental health budget. We're going to have like a 285% ending fund balance at the end of FY15 based on the requests
now. So that we're clear, Lisa, part of what I want to do in this conversation that we're going to have with CLP is I want to designate some of those dollars that are in the ending fund balance to be used for specific purposes. So I'm not talking about any additional dollars to Story County. I'm talking about taking dollars that are already sitting here and designating them for a specific purpose to get us to July 1st of 2015 and beyond.
And so the mental health fund reestimated for the FY14 year is at 41.6. Okay.
14.
A 14, right. And we'll talk about this afternoon, too. I took, obviously, everything CLP-related in the request for FY15 next year and put it in the supplemental fund. So, okay.
One other thing I just wanted to point out on the budget, it's on page 70. Under direct administration total, about three-quarters of the way down on the page, there's a line item that's called regional fiscal agent distribution. That's the amount of dollars that we put into the regional
funds. Right.
We've already put $50,000 in this fiscal year. We have a specific formula for that. We're going to take a look again at that, and I think, Lisa, the Finance Committee is a part of that, and see if there's where the counties within the region are at now after we're midway through the fiscal year and can another distribution that goes into that regional pool. So the amount that we budgeted there is $100,000. We just thought, you know, we'll end up putting $100,000 in this year, so that's what we're budgeting then for next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the ending fund balance, but not less than $50,000.
Exactly, right.
Anything else? Okay.
Good
job.
Back at 1:30.
What time are we back?
It's 1:30.
Good.
Anything else? We're done.
All right, good.